This is the EMDocs.net podcast with Britt Long and Manny Singh. We bring you high-yield content about what you're seeing every day in the ED. Today, we're going to focus on ectopic pregnancy. This is basically an embryo that implants outside of the normal endometrial cavity. This occurs in up to 2% of overall pregnancies, but there are some studies showing that 16% of patients who present to the ED with a pregnancy-related complaint will ultimately be diagnosed with an ectopic pregnancy. This is also the leading cause of first trimester maternal deaths, and we need to know how to care for these patients. The vast majority of extrauterine implantations occur in the fallopian tube, but there are some other locations like interstitial pregnancies, corneal pregnancies, and even cervical pregnancies. We can't talk about ectopic pregnancies without talking about heterotopic pregnancies. This is an ectopic pregnancy in conjunction with an IUP. This is very rare in those who undergo natural conception, around 1 in 30,000. However, in patients who undergo assisted reproduction techniques, the rate reaches 1 in 100. Now, we talked about how this is the most common cause of first trimester maternal deaths. The reason for this is that ectopic pregnancy rupture can result in profound hemorrhage, and most deaths occur prior or just after their arrival to the ED. We're going to look at the history and exam, but basically, you need to think about ectopic pregnancy in females of reproductive age and have a low threshold to obtain a pregnancy test. Let's get into some risk factors that are associated with ectopic pregnancy. How frequently do these occur? The traditional risk factors include things like previous tubal surgery, previous ectopic pregnancy, previous PID, and assisted fertility. Basically, anything that can mess with the fallopian tubes. However, a major pitfall is excluding ectopic pregnancy in patients who do not have these risk factors. Up to half of patients with confirmed ectopic pregnancy do not have any of these risk factors. We need to think about ectopic pregnancy in any female of childbearing age who presents with abdominal pain, pelvic pain, flank pain, syncope, and hypotension. Ectopic pregnancy can present in a variety of ways. The first one, and by far the most concerning, is a patient who presents in shock due to a ruptured ectopic pregnancy. This can occur in up to 18% of patients. Even with rupture, vital signs can be falsely reassuring in ectopic pregnancy. They often have normal vital signs even in the setting of bleeding, and they may have a reflex bradycardia caused by a vagal response to intraperitoneal blood. The most common presentation is a patient who presents with abdominal pain, maybe mismenses, and vaginal bleeding. Abdominal pain occurs in up to 80 to 90% of patients. Mismenses will occur in up to 75 to 90%, and vaginal bleeding in 50 to 80%. However, this classic triad is not sensitive. Up to 25% of patients lack this full triad. Other things on physical exam that you might find include adnexal tenderness, an adnexal mass in half of patients, uterine enlargement in about a quarter of patients, and even orthostasis. Up to 10% of patients will present with no symptoms at all. You also can't rely on your pelvic exam, as this is often completely normal. All right, so we've covered the history and exam. What's our approach to these patients? Well, first, like every patient in the emergency department, we need to determine whether they're hemodynamically stable. If they're unstable, roll your ultrasound machine into the room and obtain a FAST. If this is positive in a reproductive age female, especially in the setting of no trauma and or a positive pregnancy test, you need to assume an ectopic pregnancy. These patients need immediate IV access, preferably bilateral, and resuscitation with blood products as well as the OR with OBGYN. If the patient's stable, you have a little bit more time. For these patients, you can obtain a bedside FAST, but really your go-to imaging test is going to be a transvaginal ultrasound. Order a serum beta-HCG, blood type, CBC, and a CMP. The blood type is probably the most commonly forgotten test. Your next steps are to determine on ultrasound whether you have an intrauterine or ectopic pregnancy. And then finally, you want to coordinate management strategy with OBGYN. That's the broad overview. Let's dive into some of these details. First, we're going to look at HCG. Don't rely on a urine beta HCG. These are unreliable and can be falsely negative early in the pregnancy. If you're concerned about an ectopic pregnancy, obtain a serum beta HCG. Don't rely on the specific level from the serum beta HCG to rule out an ectopic pregnancy. there's no level or series of levels at which ectopic can be ruled out. Their traditional teaching of a beta HCG level of less than 1,000 can distract us from making the diagnosis of a ruptured ectopic in a timely manner. There are multiple studies showing that a high percentage of patients with ectopic pregnancy can rupture at a beta HCG less than 1,000, and there are even case reports of patients with a serum level of 0 having a ruptured ectopic pregnancy. Ectopic pregnancy can present with a rising, falling, or even a plateau level. ACIP has a level B recommendation telling us not to use the beta HCG level to exclude the diagnosis of ectopic pregnancy in patients who have an indeterminate ultrasound. With that, let's get to the ultrasound. Any patient who's in their first trimester with bleeding or pain should get a transvaginal ultrasound. There's no combination of history, physical exam, or beta HCG that can rule out ectopic or a ruptured ectopic pregnancy. Transvaginal ultrasound is the best way to effectively exclude an ectopic pregnancy. There are three possible options that can occur on our ultrasound. The first one is a gestational sac with a yolk sac or embryo in the uterus. That's an intrauterine pregnancy. Option number two is a gestational sac with or without a yolk sac outside the uterus. This is an ectopic pregnancy. Our final option is that we can't identify a pregnancy on our transvaginal ultrasound. This is non-diagnostic. The most common finding that confirms an ectopic pregnancy is an extra ovarian adnexal mass that can be present in up to 90% of cases of ectopic pregnancy. Do not use the presence of a gestational sac alone to confirm an IUP. So back to those different findings on ultrasound. Our first option was a patient who has an intrauterine pregnancy. As long as they haven't received assisted reproductive technology, you can rule out ectopic pregnancy. Our second option was a patient with an extra ovarian mass. For these patients, you need to move forward with medical or surgical management of ectopic pregnancy in conjunction with OBGYN. Our third option was no identification of a pregnancy, either IUP or ectopic. This is likely because the pregnancy is too early to be visualized on ultrasound, and this is a pregnancy of unknown location. Anywhere between 8 to 40% of these turn out to be ectopic. Remember, we often use something called the discriminatory level to determine what we should see on ultrasound. Many hospitals use a discriminatory zone of 1,000 to 2,000. If the serum beta HCG is less than the discriminatory zone, then the pregnancy may be an ectopic, it might be a spontaneous abortion, or it's simply an early IUP. An argument can be made, however, that the discriminatory zone is really obsolete. A low beta should never be used as a reason to not do a pelvic ultrasound, and a high beta should never be used to start treatment for a suspected ectopic pregnancy in a patient with a pregnancy of undetermined location. You need to keep in mind that there's considerable variation in beta HCG levels across pregnancies, especially early on. Another big point is that ectopic pregnancies can present at almost any beta HCG level, and the beta HCG level is not predictive of an ectopic pregnancy at all. Finally, let's get to treatment. If you have that patient with a confirmed ectopic, involve your OBGYN colleagues. All patients who are hemodynamically unstable or have tubal rupture need emergency surgery. Patients who refuse or have contraindications to medical treatment, or those in whom medical treatment has failed, also need surgery. Another potential option is methotrexate. This is a folic acid antagonist that's up to 95% effective in the appropriate patients, and it can reduce surgical exposure and potential complications from surgery. The decision to start methotrexate is best left in the hands of your OBGYN colleagues. You can think about methotrexate in patients who have no fetal cardiac activity, an adnexal mass less than 3 to 4 centimeters in its largest diameter, no heterotopic pregnancy, they're not currently breastfeeding, they have normal renal and liver function on your testing, and they're willing and able to follow up. If any of these are not present, the patient needs surgery. Also keep in mind that after the patient receives methotrexate, they need follow-up within 4 to 7 days. The final option is expectant management. This might be an option for stable patients who have a beta HCG less than 200 and they're not increasing. But again, this is best left to your OBGYN colleagues. Over 75% will resolve spontaneously. However, these patients need close monitoring and follow-up. We haven't talked about Rogam, but you need to think about giving Rogam to patients who are not sensitized or are Rh negative. This can prevent development of Rh antibodies. It should be given as soon as possible after the event, preferably within 72 hours. If the patient received methotrexate and they return with abdominal pain, this is a common side effect. However, it may indicate rupture, which can occur in up to 6% of patients, usually 2 weeks after the initial treatment. These patients need a full workup for ectopic rupture, including hemoglobin, beta-HCG, and ultrasound to look for any evidence of bleeding. If there are signs of rupture, these patients need emergent OB consultation. Because of this risk of tubal rupture, don't perform a pelvic exam on a patient who has had methotrexate treatment, especially if they present with pain or vaginal bleeding. Begin your workup for ectopic pregnancy and consult OBGYN. Let's finish with some take-home points. Ectopic pregnancy is a leading cause of first trimester maternal death. Always think about ectopic pregnancy in any woman of reproductive age who presents with abdominal pain, flank pain, pelvic pain, vaginal bleeding, missed period, or hypotension. Hemodynamically unstable patients need rapid diagnosis and stabilizing treatment. Involve your OBGYN colleagues early on in the course of your evaluation and management. Thanks for joining us on the emdocs.net podcast. Stay safe and healthy, everyone.